Rather drink cut much. We love the words to that song. It's got a good message in it, and we don't know how to preach. Never did learn how. Don't expect that I ever will. But without the Spirit of the Lord, why, it would be impossible, Brother Jenner. But we just have to go and open our mouth and believe that God's going to give us a little something. And I believe that from time to time, why, He has blessed this poor little servant here to preach the gospel. Thankful for that. We find in God's Word where it's Jesus told the people one place there. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they which do testify of me." And so wherever we look in this book, whether it be in the Old Testament or the New, if we don't see Jesus in it, then we're not getting a clear picture. And some things are kind of easy to see, and other things, why, they're it takes the Spirit of the Lord to reveal them unto us. But when we read about Samson, this man of God who had great strength, when I read about where that he took the gates to this city, they had him in the prison, and he just picked up the gates of the city and he carried them to the top of the hill. Amen. I see Jesus bearing the gates to heaven. Amen. To the top of Calvary's hill. He carried that cross up there. It has to come by the way of the cross. He said, "Take up your cross and follow me." And when we see Joseph, why, when his brothers came down there to Egypt, now Joseph, he had been made a ruler of that country down there, and when they came down there, why, they didn't recognize him. And I don't believe that the Jews recognized who Christ was, or they wouldn't have nailed him to an old rugged cross if they'd have known. Amen. Who he was. But it's by faith that we live. It's by faith, and the very ones that looked upon him with their natural eyes, why, they took him and nailed him to an old rugged cross. Amen. But thank God, we that saw him by an eye of faith, brother, it was for our sins. We know that he went and died there. Anyway, when they came down there, Joseph, his heart yearned for his brethren there, and it says that he went out a little ways from them, but I believe that he was overcome by the Spirit, don't you, brother? He went and wept, and he returned, and he just couldn't stand it no longer, and he fell upon them and hugged their necks, and he told them, "I'm Joseph," and they thought surely that he would punish them for that. They had sold him into slavery there, but he said, "I know that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He recognized Jesus in this, and that he was to go down there into Egypt for the purpose that a life might be preserved, because that God was going to send a famine down there in a few years, and so God, He foreknew all things, I want to speak this morning about a scripture that we find in the Bible about a little woman by the name of Ruth. You Bible readers, you know who I'm talking about, and that there was a famine in the land of Israel, and this was back in the days the people hadn't rebelled against God, and I wanted a king yet, and God, he fixed it just right, brother. People are never satisfied, seem like, especially this old natural man. He's never satisfied. He's always trying to improve upon that which God had already made perfect. When he delivered the children of Israel at the end of the land of Canaan, that he had promised unto Abraham, they come up out of Egypt, and they didn't even have to draw a sword. God delivered it by his own might. He delivered those people there. When they got up there to the border of Canaan, the very ones that had come through the Red Sea, that had seen the bodies of the dead Egyptians upon the shore where they tried to follow after the children of God and pursue them, that they might take them back down into Egypt. God caused the waters to drown those men. The Israelites, they looked upon the bodies of the dead Egyptians there upon the shore after that God had already brought them to. And he brought them on up to the border of Canaan. And they rebelled again. God chose out 12 men to go and spy out the land, and that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a goodly land that God had prepared for them there. And yet, when the spies that God had sent over, when they come back, they was some of them they said, "Yeah, it's a good land. It's a good land, but these giants in her, we can't take it." After God had already delivered them from Pharaoh, they were afraid of the giants of Canaan there. Why, can you imagine how foolish it was, brother? Sometimes we get kind of foolish too. After God had delivered our soul from death, he's not going to let us go now, brother. He's not going to let us go. When they rebelled there, they were ready to go back to Egypt, take up slavery again. But God didn't let them go, did he? And not a one of them got back. Not a one of them got back. But they died in the wilderness. They didn't get to go into the promised land, did they? They died there in the wilderness. I wonder how many, Brother Junior, that God has called them in the days of the youth to go into the church, and they refused, and they died in the wilderness. Amen. They died in the wilderness.
That's good preaching, brother.
Through their own disobedience. Never enjoyed the blessings of the Lord that you and I, Brother Fred, that God has blessed us with. I'll tell you, this is a good way. When God has said go over and possess the land, don't worry about it. God is going to take care of it. They was two of those that went over, Joshua and Caleb. And they brought back a good report. Oh yeah, there's giants in that land. But don't worry about it. God will fight our battles for us. Don't worry about what's out there ahead of you. If God calls you, God will take care of it. After 40 years there in the wilderness, God brought them up again to the border of Canaan. This time, he brought them by the way of Jordan there, didn't he? He brought them by the way of Jordan. They crossed over Jordan, and the first place they come to was Jericho. And oh, that was a fortified city from what I hear. Why, they had strong walls, but God told them to go out there 7 days and march around the city. And they obeyed God that time, and they, and on the seventh day, he told them to march around seven times. And after they'd marched around seven times, he told them to shout, and the walls, they fell of themselves. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. But I want to get back to little Ruth there. You know, little Ruth was, she was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. When that famine came in the land of Israel, there was a man, Elimelech, I'm not sure I pronounced that just right, but you can read it. It's in God's Word, and my pronunciation, I hope that it won't change the story any, because I believe that God purposed this, and when we can see it by an eye of faith, why, it's a beautiful love story, because this woman, and her husband Elimelech, and they had two sons, and there was a famine in the land, and they went down to the land of Moab and tarried there a few years while the famine was going on. And I believe that we can see these things right here in our own land, brother. How many young man and woman have come out of the mountains and had to go north? Somewhere to find work. The old regular Baptist is full of it, ain't he, brother? You don't have to be an old regular Baptist to experience that. When the famine comes, he'll do what he needs to do to take care of his family. But she went down there, her and her husband and her two sons. And while that they were down there, her husband died, and her two sons, they also died down there in the land of Moab. Before that they died, they had chosen themselves wives, and one's name was Ruth, and the other was anyway, how bitter Naomi felt that her husband and her two sons had died down there, and she decided to go back to the land of Israel. And now y'all pray for me that God would help me with this, but she decided to go back, and she told her two daughter-in-laws to go back home to their families, and that she was going back to Israel there. There was one that she wouldn't go, would she? She wouldn't go. She said, "Where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." And she followed Naomi back to the land of Israel, and it must have been pretty bare existence for them there, but we find that it was the time of harvest there, and there was a man there that was a near kinsman unto Naomi, and his name was Boaz, and it was harvest time, and little Ruth, she went out there as a gleaner. Do you know what a gleaner is? Boaz, he had these reapers, didn't he, brother? He had those that were to labor in the field, he welcomed her into the field as a gleaner. Now a gleaner is someone that goes along and picks up what's left that the reapers might of this, and Boaz, he showed a kindness unto Ruth there, and he even told the reapers, "You drop a little on purpose, brother." I believe that that's just ministers where to drop a little on purpose, and that those that are not Israelites, that they might eat also, brother. Oh, brother, I am so glad that when I was a child, along the way, once in a while, someone would drop a little crumb unto this hungry little boy. Yes, they were out in the field, Boaz told her, he said, "At mealtime, you come over here and eat. You come over and eat with me." And the Bible says that he reached for the parched corn and the vinegar, and she ate there and was sufficed, and she left, the Bible says. Now, brethren, I believe that we've come in here to eat today. And God God has blessed me with a few crumbs this morning. But she was sufficed. And she went back home to her mother Naomi. She took a little with her and gave to her also. Brethren, when God blesses us to come together and eat, we can take a little home with us, can't we? We can take a little home with us.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I've heard sermons that I could keep them for a week, brother. They didn't get a bit old.
Amen.
God would keep bringing things back to my mind that some old brother had said, and I could feast on it for a week. And anyway, she took some back home to her mother-in-law Naomi, and Naomi told her what to do. Said, now tonight he's going to be a glean or a winnowing there in the threshing floor, and you go down there after dark. And now, what was that threshing floor? Why, that's a place where they separated the grain from the husk, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember when you come into the threshing floor, brother?
Yes,
I do.
Amen.
Why? When I come to it was Jesus. It wasn't Boaz, but I believe that in the story there he was he redeemed her, didn't he, brother? Now I believe that in the story there he's the type of Jesus, because he redeemed her, and she wasn't even a Jew, was she? She wasn't even a Jew. Oh, bless God that He loved even us, brother Fred.
Yes, he sure did.
This salvation was never limited to the Jews only, was it?
Amen.
It never was. Why, you know, even little Ruth, you know what the Moabites were? They had a little connection to Abraham too. They weren't descendants of Abraham, but they were connected. You see, Moab, why, he was a son. He was the son of Lot's daughter, oldest daughter. And so her lineage went right back. Brethren, if we just had all the connections, brethren, why, no, we might be close kin, brethren. It don't matter, but
Amen.
we're close in the
we
Lord.
Are.
That's the main thing.
Right.
We're all of Adam, ain't we? We can go back and we can find a connection there. So God is not any respecter of person, but as sure as you're here today and of a rational mind, God will save whosoever will call upon Him.
Yes, sir.
But little Ruth, her mother-in-law told her what to do, to go down there to the threshing floor. And after that, Boaz had laid down to rest for the night, why, she went in and she uncovered his feet and laid down at his feet. There's a blessing. There's a blessing, brother. Can you remember when we come to the feet of Jesus? He woke up startled and said, "Who's there?" And she told him who she was, and he knew her, didn't he, brother?
Sure.
He knew her.
Sure.
And he knew all about her life, and he knows about your life today.
Amen.
And she asked him to cover her with his skirt. I asked Jesus one time to cover me with His righteousness. I didn't have any. I was freezing to death. I'd have froze to death, brother, if I was searching for my own righteousness. But he spread His skirt over, the Bible says. And, you see, Boaz loved her. Jesus loves you. You may not know it yet, but He might be going to make you His bride, part of His bride. We don't know. It could be today, that very day, that very day after that Boaz did that, why he went into the elders. They had different customs than what we do. They didn't have deeds and things like we have now. But for someone to sell a piece of land, they plucked off their shoe and give it to them. And that was in front of the elders. And he assembled 10 elders there that it would be a witness that he had redeemed that property of Naomi's there. And so that day, why... It was finished. It was finished that day. I'm glad the day that the Lord finished a work in me. It's a finished work. It was given to me of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't anything that I could earn, but it was there for the asking. It was there for the asking. It's still there today. The Bible says that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered.
Amen.
Are you ready for deliverance?
Amen.
He'll have to call you first. And I believe that wherever that the gospel is preached, why the invitation goes out, come, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely.
Amen.
It's a free gift. It's a free gift. It's not something that you could work out, something you could earn. Back several years ago, I heard a young man try to preach, and he tried to liken the kingdom of God unto a man going to a filling station to fill up his car, and before you leave, why, you had to pay for it. You can't pay for salvation. You can't pay for salvation. It's a gift of God. You insult God by even offering this puny earthly stuff. It's an insult to God's integrity to offer him something in exchange.
Amen.
For your soul. Why, if you could give this whole world and 10,000 more like it, it wouldn't buy one drop of that precious blood. No, it wouldn't. But it's the gift of God to whosoever will believe upon him. Now may God bless you. I'm going to get out of Brother Junior's way, and everybody be much in prayer.